Welcome back to December's episode of the Daily Bugle presented by Across the Pie for Us. My name is Sung Soo, and joining me today are Jay Larson and the roster doctor, Mark Garreau. We're going to be going over what new releases you can get in December, what's going on with shipping with Atomic Mass Games, and we're going to be recapping all the different transmissions, spoilers, and everything else that have come out for Atomic Mass's games, Marvel Crisis Protocol for the month of November. Joining us off the beat is Mark Garreau. I want to thank him for taking the time again, joining us on episode two. Mark, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. Let's just jump right into it. We have some character changes. Mark, what happened to Black Panther, leader of Wakanda?
So Black Panther was essentially reworked in the same way that Shuri was, in that the reroll timings are fixed now for him. And additionally, they put a size limit on the pushes on his builder. I don't remember if they did it to his spender as well. But now he can't push size 4 or bigger, so Dormammu and Black Dwarf are very happy to not be pushed around by the King of Wakanda anymore.
Yeah, they only put the limitation on his builder, so his spender can still push whoever there. So General, I feel like Black Panther's honestly, he's the same person, right, before and afterwards?
Yeah, arguably I'd say he's slightly better, because I think the timing nerf with the ruling was undoing that is way better than what they took away from him. So I think he's very happy.
Definitely more intuitive now as well. So Okoye got hit with a couple more changes than Black Panther did. What do we think of Okoye after all this?
Yeah, so her power economy is significantly worse. A lot of the time when you would play Okoye, she would stand on a point in the back where she's within two to bodyguard somebody, and she would just repeatedly chuck range 4 spears, which would automatically generate her the power she needed to bodyguard. Now she can't do that. Now she's doing less damage. I think it has created a very competitive scene between all the two threats now. There's a good case for Rocket. There's a good case for Bullseye, who we'll be talking about in a second.
Yeah, spoilers.
Black Widow, I've seen. Nebula. It really feels like all of them except for Wong are seeing play. And even Wong sees some fringe play.
Very confused by using Black Widow, but that's fine. A talk for another day. Kingpin, just some size changes as well. He still feels like the same character to me. What do you think about Kingpin?
Yeah, it's a little bit sad right now, because I would really love, now that CS is good, to be able to hail to the King of Dormammu. But c'est la vie.
You had a couple weeks to live that dream. It just, the time's passed, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was a bit too slow on the draw on that one.
Someone who's not slow in the draw, though, is Bullseye. You went over the big change. Bullseye went down to size, or excuse me, to threat 2. His mystic defense went down. His builder went to a flat builder. Did I miss anything? Oh, when he got rapid
fire.
So huge changes for Bullseye.
No, right? He already had rapid fire. No. He did not gain rapid fire on the builder. You're thinking of Winter Soldier.
Oh, I'm thinking of Bucky.
But so they made his builder flat. His stamina is 4 on both sides instead of 5. Mystic defense down to 2, and now 2 threat. And I have found him to be an incredibly compelling character to play. He's not OP. He's not like Okoye nightmare fuel. But he is annoying. He has a cool niche to fit into. And he opens up a lot of really cool stuff with Cabal and Criminal Syndicate.
Yeah, I think he's currently my favorite all-rounder too. Kind of, you know, Okoye could basically do anything in previous incarnations, right? And for me right now, Bullseye is kind of that too, where, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm going to need this game, but Bullseye can just kind of do it all.
Yeah, out of all the twos, he has the best action economy thanks to hit and run, and incredibly good power economy thanks to a good long-range flat builder. Which, absolutely. Now that Okoye's been nerfed, he's the only one with one.
So an interesting one is Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight. Some pretty big changes here, right? Obviously, they're linking. The husband-wife combinations change. It costs a power now, and it was drastically reduced in range, which I think is a bigger deal. And then Corvus got a little harder for him to trigger Flurry, right?
Yeah, so the Flurry on his spender is now Wild Block instead of just Wild, which only taps the odds a little bit, I think. But it was just necessary, and you do feel it over the course of multiple games, I feel. The bigger thing is the husband and wife. The fact that it's harder for them to do midline interacts round 1 because you have to be within range 3 of each other. I don't believe either of them can get onto the midline and then husband and wife round 1. So if you need activation compression round 1, it can give them conniption fits.
Yeah, really interesting change there. They're basically still just as good as murdering you. It's just a lot harder for them to do the priority control and be a little bit flexible there. So I think good changes for the two of them. You know, while they took a bit of a hit for Black Order, Ebony Maw is just honestly kind of a powerhouse now.
Oh, yeah. I love the total makeover they gave him. So now he just has better power economy because he no longer has to spend on his defenses. And you can really take advantage of all these cool control effects he has. Especially now that Bows have been nerfed, I feel like very few Bow characters are actually being played right now. The fact that he can just advance people regardless of size on his attacks, throw size 4 terrain, like he's actually a compelling choice. And with the gem buffs, which we'll get into later, there's also interesting options with him taking the space gem, for example. And doing like weird midline extract tricks. He's actually compelling instead of literally the worst 5 threat in the game. So big props on that.
Yeah, Ebony Maw Mysterio, the most griefing combination in the game.
Ooh. Yeah, that's super annoying.
Could be. They've got Shush and they've got the Grand Illusion behind them. That's not fun. Nobody likes playing into that.
The way more annoying one is you take him with Scarlet Witch and you and no more mutants.
And that's fair.
You're just playing blue now instead of a real affiliation, going full magic on it.
But you feel so smart every time you brainstorm. Ghost Rider, pretty big changes to the man there. Obviously, his power generation now is theoretically through the roof.
Yep. They made him generally tankier, they gave him status immunities, and then they made the range on his power generating passive, infinite range.
Infinite.
They did compensate with, 1 second, I'm just pulling him up, it's been a while. They shrunk the range on Wicked's Judgment, did they not? I think Wicked Ray Judgment used to not have a range on it. But, yeah. The important thing is he's a tank. He's an incredibly good tank. Spirit of Vengeance just working across the whole board. Great. I've seen a lot of people get work out of him in a lot of different builds. I think he is an attractive 5 threat. And I think that's been a great theme across Ebony Maw just in general that they are Hulk, which I guess we'll talk about in a second because he did get another change. They're making centerpiece models feel very good to put down on the table. And they're taking that to heart with some of the less loved 5+ threat characters. And I just really love seeing that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Pat and I just talked about it on Across the Bifrost. Ghost Rider fits really nicely into a bunch of different things now, right? You can throw him into White Avengers. You can throw him in Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a couple pretty cool ways to play the big man. And he can do some interesting punishing tricks there. So Hulk, we covered Hulk last month. The big change here is Hulk's durability went down, right? Because Hulk, not Puny Banner's cost, went all the way up to 4.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm very glad that they ended up doing this. I remember as soon as they initially revealed him during mini Stravaganza, the first thing I said was, oh God, this is terrifying. Hulk might be a bit much. And he honestly was like the only thing that they did that I did not necessarily agree with because from playing Hulk in store games.
Are you forgetting that they nerfed Groot? Because that was just uncalled for. That was just a bridge too far.
Oof. In casual games, I would see that if Hulk got power, he was absolutely terrifying. So when you start buffing his damage and giving him a real power economy, like I knew he was going to be an absolute nightmare to deal with. So I'm glad that they toned down his tank stats a little bit.
yeah, no complaints there. It seemed aggressive, to say nothing else. And I liked that they're being that fluid with him. So I think he ended up in a good place. Last, certainly not least, James Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. He picked up rapid fire in his assault rifle. Got your back, went up by one power, I believe. And I don't think anything else changed on him, but those are pretty monstrous changes.
Yeah, the rapid fire by itself I have found to be incredibly impactful. I've seen him been played in Sam Spam. I've seen him been played in X-Force. I think there's just a lot of random places where you can stick him in. And all of a sudden, that range 5, 4 dice rapid fire attack feels really good. Like he's like an alternative Moon Knight in some ways. He's got like different synergies and different strengths and different weaknesses, but he fills a very similar niche with the rapid fire now.
Yeah, I've definitely really enjoyed him. I'm glad you mentioned X-Force. That's one of the homes I like best for him. I think him and Cable are a really interesting duo. They both have like the ability to hop around, those range 5 attacks. They both make really good use out of the reroll. I like that a lot. And just as a reminder, this podcast isn't meant to go deep. It's just meant to kind of bring you up to speed on all the different changes that have happened over the last month. If you want more information or more in-depth analysis on this, obviously Mark writes up some great first impressions over at AcrossTheBifrost.com. There's also all sorts of windbags like myself podcasting on AcrossTheBifrost.com, and you can find more in-depth conversations there. So jumping over to the gems, two gems change. We have space and time. Let's start with the space gem, Mark. What do we think about this?
Space Gem is wacky change. Just bringing it down to one cost has all of a sudden made it palatable. And you can do similar plays to like Angela or Amazing Spider-Man with it on Mind Gem, or not Mind Gem, Space Gem holders. So I expect to see a lot of Ebony Maw with the Space Gem, Loki with the Space Gem, Thanos with the Space Gem. As people kind of fiddle with this new toy, that there hasn't really been a trick like that as accessible as the Space Gem. So I think it's going to be very interesting for the next few months.
Yeah, definitely interesting. And to be clear, the Space Gem is placing this or a friendly allied character within 2. So it's just a place effect and we're gaining access to it. Again, the only change was its cost was cut in half, basically. The Time Gem had some dramatic reworks there. It's basically recalibration matrix on a gem. It costs 2 unless you're Thanos, so this is really his personal toy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it doesn't really go super great on anyone except for Thanos. Unfortunately, it only works on attacks. You can't do it on defense rolls.
Great point.
So I thought that there might be some like super trolly Time Strange build where you essentially parked him on a point and you would just Time Gem plus Haga's Hoary Wisdom and just say, nope, I'm not dying. I've got too many layers of rerolls. But unfortunately, that doesn't quite work out. I think it's Thanos or bust with the Time Gem now.
Yeah, and again, some really compelling options. We're freeing up those roster spots because, like we talked about last month, gems are being attached to characters when you choose the character for your roster. And just to reiterate, that means if you choose to take Loki with the Space Gem, he always has the Space Gem, so he's always that 5-threat model. So be some really interesting things as kind of the roster doctors out there take some look at these. We did get some new characters released. Let's start with the gambling man, Mr. Gambit. What do we think about him?
So I have been loving Gambit. As soon as I saw Gambit and Colossus, who we'll be talking about, I knew I wanted to check in again with X-Men and see how they play out. And I've seen a lot of really cool plays with Gambit. Like you can to me, my X-Men him in front of Rogue, wait for somebody to go onto the midline. You X-Men leadership Rogue through Gambit. And you R&D a power to her at some point before she goes.
On the character's activation when they R&D.
Yeah, which we'll get into later in a sec. But you R&D a second power onto her. She charges into the middle, double punches, saps, or throws a piece of terrain. And then if anybody else follows up, now Gambit's in range to walk up and do a bow staff and push somebody off with like 80-90% odds.
Yeah, so it should be pretty interesting. I love that X-Men are kind of getting this love. You know, obviously one of the knocks, quote unquote, on Avengers is the roster is just so huge. They have so many options now. And, I don't know anything, but, the X-Men roster has the capacity to be just as large, right, theoretically, from the comics. So Colossus, Rasputin, what do we think of him?
So he's interesting. He's this big, beefy tank. He's kind of like a cross between Captain America and Lizard, which is a very odd thing to say, but it is like when you get down into it, it checks out. Unfortunately, he doesn't have as many displacement tools as those two, which is a little bit sad, but he synergizes with a lot of what X-Men want to be doing right now, I think, which is kind of shoving in a line of tanks and letting your backline supported in characters kind of help you score out.
He reminds me a little bit of first generation Steve Rogers, where his power generation is the thing that makes him frustrating for me to play.
Yeah. You kind of have to accept that people aren't going to want to hit him. So you're going to find he's not going to be doing a lot of the time. A lot of time he's just going to be standing on points and being annoying.
Yeah, so hopefully you can incentivize them to attack him or come up with some other way to generate him some power. The model that worries me the most is the Juggernaut. That's because I don't think this motherfucker dies.
I've killed him a couple of times. So I've played, I want to say, like 4 or 5 games against the Juggernaut at this point. And he is so funny to watch on the table because he's essentially like stumbling around like a drunk toddler, move attacking every round in random directions. And then he does those like crazy pushes all around. He is really fun. I think he's a great addition for Brotherhood. I've seen people putting him in CS because he's size 4 and he essentially has PSD on at all times until he flips. So he is very difficult to remove. And his tactics cards are both crazy and fun. So I think he's going to be an interesting addition to the game for sure.
And again, we're not going to dive deep. I don't even think we're going to cover these tactics cards. You can find all of these new characters over at mcpdb.acrossthebifrost.com. You can also find all of the Erratics cards over at atomicmassgames.com/rules. They have stat cards, team tactics cards, and infinity gems. Again, Mark and I are just trying to keep you up to date with the news. And tactics cards, some big stuff changes. Obviously now 10 cards is the way to go. We all love 10 cards. And we have 6 cards that kind of change, some dramatically, some not so much. Let's start with Ricochet Blast and Thunder Wave. Just a cost reduction. We like them though, right?
Yeah, I think Ricochet Blast, now that Iron Man's been buffed significantly, is going to be a great Avengers card. If you're playing Avengers with 3 box or just not like all everything in the game, I think slot that in like immediately.
Yeah, really fun card there. Thunderwave, still kind of on the fence about Thunderwave. Doomed Prophecy, one of my favorite cards ever, became an Asgard card.
Yeah, and it didn't become not restricted, which is a little bit strange. But I think that this makes sense to make Doomed Prophecy break things less often. As somebody who is a notorious Carnage Doomed Prophecy abuser.
Rest in peace, Carnage.
Yeah, he's not nearly as good without it. I think it was a smart thing for them to do. I wish it wasn't restricted.
But we both know that the banned and restricted list is a mutable living organism, and we can only hope that Doomed Prophecy comes off of it next time they look at it. Pentagrams of Falafel. Oof, its power cost went up by 1. Which is a huge change, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah. The fact that you can't do this on round 1 anymore is absolutely backbreaking. I don't want to say this definitively, but I think it makes Defenders pointless to play right now. At this point, you might as well just play Convocation or Midnight Suns, depending on the pieces you liked out of Defenders. Because I don't think Doctor Strange's leadership is a compelling enough reason, and I haven't seen somebody make pentagrams compelling on round two plus.
Shameless self-promotion, but Pat and I talk about this in the upcoming after the credit scenes for Across the Bifrost podcast. And basically, Mark, I agree with you. Rainbow Bridge just kind of got brought in line with other similar effects. You can no longer go across the Bifrost if you have any luggage, no carry-ons, no nothing. We're just taking people.
Yeah, I think this was a really smart change. Extract Runaway Jank is the worst. I don't want to see Dash Guard ever be a thing again.
So because Hulk got so good, they had to kind of take him down a little bit, and they unfortunately hit Gamma Launch with a little bit of a nerf bat. Gamma Launch is now an active card. I still think it's really powerful. It doesn't honestly bother me so much.
Yeah, and I guess spoiler alert for the last card we're talking about, Advanced R&D got the exact same change. I think this was a really smart pattern to change. Is don't let people spend large amounts of power not during their activation for big effects.
I hate using this term, but it does just kind of make things a little more fair, right, Mark? You're going to have a chance to react to any of these really powerful effects now.
Yeah, I think the more appropriate word might be more interactive, because you can actually know that somebody, if they get to activate, is going to do this thing, and so you need to either prevent them from doing that or play around it. Whereas when anybody can play it at any time, you kind of just live in this world where it's going to be forced upon you at some point, and you just have to accept that. So I think it's going to be way more dynamic for the game.
If Gamma Launching Juggernaut is wrong, I don't want to be right. So Mark talked about it too. We have Advanced R&D moving to an active card. I think that is actually monstrous. I still think it's a very good card, to be clear. But I think it really, like Mark said, allows you to interact before they kind of do this unfair, quote-unquote, or unexpected kind of turn one plays.
Yeah, the important thing is you can't do it on turn one of round one anymore. So it isn't as good for extract abuse plays. It's still as good for plans that don't require the tempo, which are typically like secure-based plays. So you can like advance R&D power onto a Gwen so that she can pull somebody off without needing to attack, or something like that to score a point.
All right. So the banned and restricted list got some changes to it. I'm just going to run through all of them, Mark, and then you can give me your opinion on them. Bitter Rivals now unrestricted. No one was surprised there. All You've Got went from restricted to banned.
Ding Panic dong, the Witch Grip is dead. City,
as evacuation efforts continue, also moved to the banned list.
Yeah. What do you think? So I'm not super surprised by Panic, just because there was a very real chance that if Panic didn't get banned, I was just going to play X-Men Panic Abuse going forwards. I think with the innovation of the new Space Gem, with there's just a lot of weird B/F line extract tricks that are absolutely backbreaking on Panic. And the fast score out has been consistently problematic as soon as anybody can start scoring that stuff fast. So I'm very glad to see it go.
I think it is good that they identified this isn't something we want in the game. And it's not something that we want in the game less. It's just something we don't want in the game, right? So they went ahead and moved it to the banned list. I don't think anyone's surprised about All You've Got. That card's been kind of ubiquitous with Titan Killing. And I think to your point, right, it seems like they're trying to make an active effort to make Showcase or Centerpiece models more viable. And I think All You've Got getting banned honestly goes hand in hand with that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that was definitely kind of a big part of this, is we're moving away from an aggro-based meta, which means that Centerpiece models are going to live. Which is really great now that we have Dormammu, now that Hulkbuster's coming out, now that Hulk's been reworked. There's like a lot of really cool expensive characters that weren't getting play, because you're like, why bother when War Machine's just going to walk up and just quad tap me and I'm going to go down anyways.
All right, and last and not least, I don't think anyone was expecting Bitter Rivals to go unscathed. It moving to the restricted is very expected to me. What do you think there?
Yeah, very deserved. I think without all you've got, it's not going to be nearly as annoying, but I think it was still annoying enough to warrant going on the restricted list.
Yeah, Pat brought this up in an episode across the Bifrost. The crisis change also hurts bitter rivals a little bit too, right? You no longer can plan to have everyone kind of clumped up in the middle for that bitter rivals bubble.
Yeah, it still makes your 10 because of, well, you have 10
certainly does.
Cards now, but it's definitely less of an always card for sure.
Absolutely. So to recap at a high level, the restricted cards are Brace for Impact, Bitter Rival, Doom Prophecy. Yep. Field Dressing, Med Pack, and Patch Up. On the banned list, Panic Grip City as Evacuation Continues. All you've got, Drop Off, May You Rest in Peace, and Hired Muscle. So that's our current restricted list that went in effect the 22nd of the 11th month of the year 2021. So pretty big updates there for the month of November. We have brand new characters, which you can find at mcpdb.acrossthebifrost.com, including new gems. We have new characters you can find there. We have updated characters you can find there and at atomicmassgames.com/rules. We have the updated tactics cards as well at atomicmassgames.com/rules and at mcpdb.acrossthebifrost.com. The banned and restricted update, which you can also find at atomicmassgames.com. So huge changes for the month of November, Mark. I've got to hope that December is a little more calm, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping that we've seen everything we're going to see for the rest of the year and that it's just going to calm down and we're going to get less and less delays and we're going to get closer to being caught up with everything. That's my hope.
All right, well, you can tune in for Mark and I on the 1st or 2nd of the new year in January. We'll be breaking down any of the news that happened in December. Again, we hope you enjoyed this part of the Daily Bugle. Jay Larson will be jumping on the pod in a moment to tell us about the upcoming release schedule, in America at least, for things coming on, and maybe a spicy sale or two for Discount Games Inc. So, Mark, I want to thank you so much. You can check out all of Mark's work over at AcrossTheBifrost.com. He does some great first reactions. He does some deeper dives on these characters if you want to learn more. So, Mark, thanks for joining us. Who doesn't love finger guns?
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, joining me now is Jay Larson from Discount Games Incorporated, and he's going to help keep us up to date with all the releases coming out in the United States for the month of December. But first, Jay, how you doing?
I'll do the polite answer and say I'm super.
Okay, well, I guess that's fair. So obviously, with the holidays coming up, we had, I hope you had a great Black Friday, Cyber Monday, whatever promotional sale you want to say for DGI. But a bunch of upcoming releases, I think, for the month of December, right, Jay?
There is. We did. I got an update yesterday that there was a little bit of sad news that of all the things to get pushed from the release wave, we had five things scheduled for December 10th. One of them got pushed, and that's the Rivals panel, Spider-Man versus Dr. Octopus, which of all the ones to get pushed, that's the one that I would have preferred. I would have preferred things to be added, not pushed. But so what we have right now is Mordo and the Ancient One, Dr. Voodoo and Hood, Doctor Strange and Clea, and the Sanctum Sanctorum are still going to release on December 10th. And we don't have a date yet for the Rivals panel. I'm going to, Asmodee is going to be shipping my stuff to me starting on the 2nd. So it should be arrived to me with plenty of time for me to get my stuff shipping out early so that if you're looking to receive a gift for Christmas or give a gift, it should get to you with plenty of time for that.
That's awesome. So it sounds like all the Convocation Wave and the Convocation Terrain set are still on target, you said, with a release date of the 10th of December. And the big push is obviously the new Doc Ock and Spider-Man that was releasing and now is pushed back to who knows when.
Correct, yeah.
All right, well, that doesn't sound too bad, and it's good to know that you can still order that from Discount Games Inc. in time for the holidays. Do you have any other sales or promotions coming up you think we should be aware of, Jay?
Sure. So the big one for the Marvel Crisis Protocol players are I have the Incredible Hulk on sale at 35% off. I thought that would be a fun one for people who haven't rounded out their collection with him, if because previously he wasn't the best, and now he's a pretty exciting option to add to your army. From some of the other Atomic Mass Games ones, there's the HMP Droid Fighter, the Inferno Squad, Republic Fighter Squadrons, and then from Games Workshop, some of the big box sets, Octarius, the Black Templar's Army set, Chelnath, Red Harvest, and Dominion are all on sale. And then finally, we have a really killer sale at 40% off of the D&D Snowbound and Bestiary Unleashed booster boxes for D&D. A really good price on those.
All right. Well, thanks for keeping us up to date on all the Marvel Crisis Protocol news and other gaming news, as we know that most of you out there play more than one wargaming platform. And again, Hulk's a great model to pick up. If for nothing else, you need Gamma. You gotta need Gamma to play the game, right? So thanks for keeping us up to date, Jay. I hope your month improves as we continue to go. Thanks for making the time. And I look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Awesome. Just real quick, we will hopefully within the probably about the next week or so, we'll probably find out the release dates for January, and we don't have January release dates yet, but we should have adding on hopefully some Marvel Crisis Protocol stuff then. So you can pay attention to the social media for Discount Games Inc. and we'll announce that out as well.
All right. Well, thanks so much. I look forward to hearing about January in a month or so. Have a great holiday, Jay, and talk to you soon.
You too.
All right, and that's going to wrap up this month's episode of the Daily Bugle. We hope this helped you keep up to date with all the crazy announcements from Atomic Mass Games. Again, for more detailed information, you can check out acrossthebifrost.com, and you can try to keep up with everything Atomic Mass Games is doing on Twitch, on Twitter, and on atomicmassgames.com/transmissions. Until next time, everyone, cheers, and happy gaming.